This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
person who is eligible to fast. Okay? شروط الصيام. We call it شروط الصيام. شروط الصيام. The person who is going to fast, what are the conditions for the person who can fast? All right? To be eligible to fast, there are a number of conditions. Number one, to be a Muslim. Why is it important to say to be a Muslim? By the way, the condition of Salah is to be a Muslim. The condition of Zakah is to be a Muslim. The condition of Siyam is to be a Muslim. Why do we say that? Why do we have to say that? I mean, it's common sense, right? Yes. Okay, you have to be a Muslim. Which means that if someone who's not Muslim and fasts, you know, some co-workers, some colleagues, sometimes they fast with you, is their siyam accepted? Are the rulings of siyam applicable to them? The answer is no, it's not. Will Allah reward? There is one condition, la ilaha illa Muhammadur Rasulullah, khalas. Okay, so this is very important. Obviously, if one of your colleagues is fasting, you don't tell them this, right? This is just for us, okay? And I'm telling you why we say as-siyam. I mean, to be a Muslim. This is very important. طيب. ومسلم بالغ عاقل. مسلم بالغ عاقل. مسلم بالغ عاقل مقيم قادر. مسلم بالغ عاقل مقيم قادر. All right? To be a Muslim, number one. Number two, baligh. Baligh, to reach the age of puberty. Okay? What does it mean? A child before bulugh, the age of puberty, they may or may not fast. But obviously, we don't tell them this. Right? We don't say that to them. Huh? It's not mandatory upon them. It's not mandatory upon them to fast. Okay? But it's recommended that we teach them to fast, all right, at a young age. But it's not mandatory upon them. Meaning that if you do not fast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question them. Okay? Is that clear? That's why we say baligh. Al-bulugh is shart. Kadhalik fi salah and all of that. All right. Number three, aqil. You have, basically, you can reason things. Sound mind, we call it. Aqil. Muslimun balighun aqil. I was asked the other day if someone, a child or someone with some, you know, some sort of mental disability, can they fast? The answer is it really depends on the condition, the situation. It goes case by case, right? There are some people with some mental disabilities, they can fast and they can actually reason things, right? Like an autistic, there are levels. I'm not an expert, right? Right, doctor? There are levels, all right? So it really depends on the person, okay? Aqil, someone is like someone in coma, for example. Obviously, we're not going to ask him to fast because they cannot reason things, right? Type. What else? Muqim. Muqim, you're not musafir. Muqim, you're from Frisco, you're from Dallas. All right, that's your residency. Then as long as you're in Dallas, Siyam is fard upon you. But if you travel to New York, Siyam is not fard upon you. Meaning that, of course, if you're just going for a few days, right? It's not like you're not moving to New York. Siyam becomes optional for you. If you want to keep your fast, alhamdulillah. If you don't want to keep your fast, also alhamdulillah, but you have to make up for that day. Yeah, you have to read two questions. Okay, doctor? If you travel anywhere, I always... Yeah, for work. You're musafir, basically. You break your fast. You have the ruhsa. You have the permission to break your fast if you're traveling. All right? What is the distance? Obviously, they say it's like equal to the distance of salah, which is like, how was like 60 miles or something, but obviously... We don't say, like, if you go to Fort Worth, you break your fast. No, it's a joke. You know what I'm trying to say? So, but if you travel to New York, make it easy on yourself. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ. Allah wants ease for you, not hardship. Why are you making it difficult for you? See, I'm going to probably repeat this many times. I'm always going to say that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you permission, it's like a gift. Accept the gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ أَن تُؤْتَ رُخَصَهُ كَمَا تُؤْتَ عَزَائِمَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves when his, when he gives concession or permission to do something or not to do something, that we accept it. As much as he loves when he asks you to do something, like, you know, if you are resident in Dallas or Frisco, and he asks you to fast, he loves it when you follow this. Okay? It's the same when you travel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you permission just to accept it and make up the day later on. That's the easiest thing. Because when you're traveling, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know whether or not you're going to have food. You don't know. You're just a musafir. So it's better. I personally never fast when I'm traveling. Never. When I'm traveling, like long distance, I never fast. I break my fast and then, I make up for the days after that. Okay? طيب. So muqim, that's also one of the conditions. The other one has the ability. All right? Has the ability. Qudra. And this is also very important. Physical and mental ability to fast. This is very important. If you have some medical conditions and the doctors are clearly telling you, you should not be fasting. Don't argue too much. I know it's difficult, especially if it's permanent. It's terminal disease or something. It's permanent. Like, what does it mean? Like, my brother was struggling with a kidney failure, right? And the doctor told him, listen, you should not fast. Guess what? My brother fasted. And unfortunately, he went into dialysis after that. Yeah? Because the kidney required water. You needed some water. All right? But he insisted to fast. I wasn't even aware of that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. The doctor, and consult multiple doctors. That's my advice. Consult multiple doctors, Muslim doctors also. All right? If your condition is not stable, a non-Muslim doctor tells you, no, you cannot fast because the concept of not drinking water for a long time, obviously for them, it's not common. Consult with a Muslim doctor that you trust. All right? What do you think? This is the condition. Should I fast or not? If he says, no, it's better not to fast, then khalas, alhamdulillah. It's a qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm still going to be rewarded. All right? And inshallah, Rabbil Alameen, you never know. Your situation might get better. And inshallah, Rabbil Alameen, you can fast after that, right? You can make up for the days. And Allah is giving you an alternative, which is basically the fidya. You know, give the fidya, alhamdulillah. I think it's going to be $12 for each day. If you want to give more, alhamdulillah. And you're getting the reward of fasting, okay? This is ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? So al-qudra is also one of the requirements as well, one of the conditions. All right, if you're able to fast, I mean, if you cannot unable to fast permanently, then you give the fidya. Otherwise, you make up for the days after that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. You make up for the days later, inshallah. Rabbil Alameen. Do you have any questions here? Any questions in that part? Okay. There is another condition, is obviously for the sisters during the during the pregnancy, sometimes is difficult. You also go to back to you, you go to the OBG or your doctor, and they would tell you while you're nursing also, is it recommended to fast or not? It really goes case by case. So you ask the doctor also about this. All right? Okay. Talking about fasting in general, and then we'll talk about Ramadan, inshallah. Ruling on fasting. So the first thing, the first slide, we talked about the person who is recommended to fast or obligated to fast. Muslim, Baligh, Aqil, Muqim, Qadir. These are the five conditions. Type. Now, ruling on fasting itself. Fasting can be obligatory, can be fard, or it can be like haram. You're not allowed to fast. Can be makruh, can be sunnah. Okay? So fasting itself can be either fard, can be sunnah, can be makruh, disliked, or can be prohibited. All right? We'll go over each one of them. طيب what are the obligatory fasting? The obligatory fasting. صيام المفروض. When صيام becomes فرض. When صيام becomes فرض. Obviously, during the month of Ramadan. All right? During the month of Ramadan, it's فرض. صيام رمضان is فرض. Okay? صيام رمضان is فرض. Also, what else? Is نذر, the vow. You know, when you have like an oath or there's a nadhr, if Allah does something, I'm going to, I'm going to do it, then it becomes fard upon you to fulfill this vow. All right? So fasting Ramadan, fasting during the month of Ramadan is fard, and also a nadhr or making up for the days of Ramadan, that is also considered to be fard. There are certain kafara, that also they become fard. It's penalty for certain actions that we're going to talk about that later, inshallah. All right? Okay. When siyam becomes prohibited, it's muharram, haram, you're not allowed to fast. When? Obviously, the 2 days of Eid. The 2 days of Eid. Don't think that you're bifum al-muttaqeen if you fast extra day, the day of Eid. Allah tells you, do not fast during Eid. Khalas. وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَكُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never fasted during Eid. Eid al-Adha or Eid al-Fitr. Okay? So we do not fast. We do not fast. All right? All right. So this is an ayyam al-tashriq. Eid al-Adha, so Eid al-Fitr, it's 1 day, right? How many days? I know culturally people say 3 days. Just you want to eat biryani every day, that's why. Eid al-Fitr, only 1 day. Only 1 day. Okay, Fitr, that's it. Eid al-Adha, however, how many days? 3 or 4. What is up with you guys? Huh? We have different areas, huh? It's like wayam al-Tashriq, yawm al-Eid, wayam al-Tashriq. You have the day of Eid, yawm al-Nahr, the day of Eid, and then 3 days, ayam al-Tashriq. You cannot fast on the day of Eid al-Adha, and you cannot fast in 3 days of al-Tashriq. It's a haram, haram, haram. Even if they're like, you know, Thursday and Monday, it's a haram to fast, period. Okay? So fasting becomes prohibited in here. Okay. So this is when siyam is haram. Al-Aidain wa al-Tashriq. Taib. It can be also sunnah. All right? It can be sunnah. Siyam can be sunnah. And there is something called restricted, muqayyada, wa ghayr muqayyada. Sunnah, mutlaqa, وَمُقَيَّدَ. Restricted and unrestricted. Restricted like what? Like, you know, basically the white days, which is الأيام البيض, the 13th, 14th, and 15th. Okay? All right? And then the day of Arafah. The day of Arafah. And you have the 6 days of unrestricted, obviously, unrestricted, يعني مطلقة, is to fast basically any time, except for Saturday and all of that, right? A day and 1 day fasting, like Siyam Dawood alayhi salam, for example, this is sunnah مطلقة. You can, anyone can do that, no problem, all right? But the sunnah المقيدة, the restricted one, we're talking about the days that we all know. The day of Arafat, the day of Ashura, like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam fasted particular for these days, all right? The day of Arafat, the 3 days every each month, Monday and Thursday. These are the restricted ones. Restricted, يعني مقيدة, because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam fasted these particular days, all right? Okay, when Siyam can be disliked, makruh, Yawm al-Sabt, to single Yawm al-Sabt to Saturday with fasting is disliked. Saturday. Okay? Saturday. Yawm al-Sabt. To single Saturday. And Yawm al-Shak. Yawm al-Shak is basically the last day of Sha'ban, you know? Because it's, we don't know it's Ramadan or Sha'ban, or that's what we call it Yawm al-Shak. Yawm al-Shak, there is doubt in here. So it's disliked to fast on that day, all right? So this is basically when Siyam is, but when it comes to Ashura and Tasu'a and Ashura, obviously the 9th and the 10th of of the what's the month? Al-Muharram, right? You can you single Saturday? Can you single it out? Yeah, you can. All right, you can single Saturday. You can fast Saturday and Sunday. That's fine. All right, or Friday and Saturday. That's fine. Okay? So, disliked to single the day of Saturday or Saturday in general, basically. Okay? Is that clear? This is makruh. All right? So, we said siyam can be fard, siyam can be sunnah, siyam can be muharram, not the month, haram yani. Siyam can be, what's the other one? Makruh, disliked. All right. Talk about the month of Ramadan. When do we start fasting the month of Ramadan? And when does Ramadan end? Here we're talking about the moon sighting and the calculations, all of that. But I'm not going to spend too much time here because I think there are more issues that we can discuss in Siyam, inshallah. All right. Obviously, moon sighting is the default sunnah from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. صوموا لرؤيته وافطروا لرؤيته. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it clear. He said, "Sumu, fast when you see the month of Ramadan." All right, and basically, when you break your fast, when you see the next month. صوموا لرؤيته وافطروا لرؤيته. Month to month. فإن غم عليكم, and if you cannot see the moon, the crescent, what's going to happen? فأكتموا عدة شعبان 30 يوما. Yeah. So if you cannot see the moon, Ramadan, then complete Sha'ban 30 days. This is the default sunnah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This has been followed for so many years till obviously more scientific methods came, and then more masajid like Frisco Masjid. Here we follow the calculations, which basically they calculate the birth of the crescent, and this is when we decide on the start and the end of the month of Ramadan. Okay, and we're not going to get into the disagreement and the khilaf and all of that because it's already decided in our masjid, and more, it seems like more communities are leaning towards that because it gives more clarity, and the Prophet ﷺ did not specify, according to that group who believe in the calculation is also accurate and good, the Prophet ﷺ didn't really say you have to look it with your eyes, see it with your eyes. Whichever way that will enable you to see and witness the crescent, that's the way you can follow. Okay, wallahu alam. That's basically their argument. Okay, so and Ramadan, when you exit Ramadan, the same thing. You enter Ramadan based on the ru'ya of the crescent, the hilal, and then you exit Ramadan with the same thing. Okay. All right, now let's talk about the invalidators of fasting. All right, we fast from dawn to sunset, correct? To Maghrib. We say from Fajr to Maghrib. Okay. All right, so what are the invalidators of Siyam? What are the things that invalidate the Siyam? Okay. Anything that goes through the mouth and it goes to your stomach invalidates the prayer. I mean the siyam. I keep on saying the prayer. All right? Invalidates, like eating, drinking, obviously. These are the things, right? Eating, drinking, taking medicine, all of these things were invalidate your siyam. What else? Intentionally throw up. You know, some people that have this habit, that the because it makes them feel better, you know, so that sometimes they intentionally force themselves to throw up or vomit. In this case, you need to actually make up the siyam. You broke your siyam in this case, right? Because they're thinking that some of the food might, you know, end up going back to your stomach. So it invalidates your siyam. But if you vomit such naturally, it wasn't intentionally, then خلاص يعني لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. It's not intention. Okay? It's not intention here. Is that clear? So this is very important. What else? So الأكل متعمدا في شهر رمضان. To eat intentionally. Intentionally. Okay? Not because you were forgetting. Out of forgetfulness, خلاص. You don't even have to bother yourself and ask the imam. Because I still get these questions until now. Sheikh, I forgot. I ate something by mistake. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, هذه قاعدة فقهية. This is a general fiqh ruling here. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, رفع عن أمتي الخطأ والنسيان وما استكره عليه. That you will not be held accountable. You will not be responsible for a mistake, for doing something by mistake, by accident. All right? Out of forgetfulness. Or if you're forced to do something. Someone forces you to eat. It doesn't happen, yani, but if it happens, in this case, your siyam is valid. All right? If you ate and out of forgetfulness, and I forgot. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you continue your day because فَكَأَنَّمَا أَطْعَمَهُ اللَّهُ وَسَقَى. This is also a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And usually it comes in the perfect time when you're like desperate. And you find yourself, oh my God, I was just fasting. And this happens a lot during the first few days of Ramadan, obviously. First few days of Ramadan, because you're not in the habit yet. So if you're in the kitchen, if you are somewhere, and you started drinking, eating, as soon as you remember, khalas. All right? If you remember in the middle, you can, if you have food or something, just spit it out. And then continue your siyam, inshallah. You don't have to ask anyone. No one will ever say that you should make up for that day. Because out of forgetfulness. But obviously, you cannot forget 2-3 times a day, yani. Right? You cannot forget to, yani. One day, Allah may Allah help the sisters, yani. One time, I cooked Ramadan and I forgot like 3-4 times. Oh, but that's a true story, though. You know, because it's unusual, like, right? So if you forget, in this case, khalas. But if you eat intentionally, al-qada wal-kaffara. If you eat intentionally, I repeat, intentionally, not fasting today. All right? Then al-qada wal-kaffara, not just al-qada. Not just al-qada. Qada making up for the day. So a lot of people think it's like, I ate intentionally, you know what? I'm just going to make up this day. No excuse. No sickness, disease, nothing. All right? You intentionally, you know, you're not in a good mood. Some people, when they don't have sahri, you know, they get frustrated. You know, I cannot make it. I cannot fast the whole day. So they eat intentionally. This is qada and kafara. You make up for the day. And on top of that, al-kafara. What is the kafara or the penalty? To free a slave, obviously, which doesn't exist nowadays, I hope. Or fast 60 consecutive days. It's 60 consecutive days. That shows you how bad it is to break a fast during the month of Ramadan. All right? Intentionally. All right? Is that clear? So to fast 60 consecutive days. شهرين متتابعين. Yes. Yeah, we're coming to this. Tasting the food. He's asking about tasting the food. Yeah, of course. Yeah, okay. So if you break your fast intentionally during the month of Ramadan, all right, then 60 to feed, I mean to fast 60 consecutive days. If you cannot, then فَإِطْعَامُ سِتِينَ مِسْكِينَ. How many miskin you feed? 60. Okay? وَجْبَتَيْن مُشْبِعَتَيْن. For each day, obviously. 60. You calculate. See how much would it cost, all right, in your locality to feed 60 people. For each day you fast. I mean, you break your fast. 60 people. All right? It's a penalty. Obviously, it's a penalty, right? It's a penalty. And you see, on top of that, you will not even get the reward of this fasting that you have Ramadan. Never. People will always be ahead of you. Always. Huh? People will always be ahead of you. Subhanallah. It's a day that you cannot. So, whether you're in a bad mood, you know, a lot of people. I was just in a bad mood. I didn't feel like fasting. I was angry. I was this. I was that. You know, one youngsters, subhanallah, yani, when they go to school and everyone is eating, so they, subhanallah, they get weak and they start eating and stuff like that. They need to understand this thing, okay? Tayyib. So this is the penalty for breaking your fast if you eat intentionally during the month of Ramadan. Obviously, another thing is, I know you have younger brothers and sisters, but a husband-wife relationship, right? A husband-wife, we'll call it al-jima'. Also, if you intentionally do that during the month of Ramadan with your spouse, then you have qada and kafara as well. Qada and kafara is not just making up for the day. All right, now, there are some situations where, let's say the husband forces the wife. Does the wife have to pay the kafara also? Or just the husband? Yes. Yeah. Physical what? Are you talking about the previous point that I was discussing? Physical, yeah. When you say mental, meaning what? I'm not sure I understand the question. You mean forcing someone, like mentally forcing someone, you say? Huh? Yeah. Okay, so so you're saying there are cases when someone forces you to eat, are you mean mentally, like put pressure on you, that you end up breaking your fast? I would not include this. I would not include that. Because if you open the door to that, it's going to be like everyone face some sort of like breakdown, pressure, right? So because my husband or my wife or my son or my daughter or my boss, they got just to get me angry, you know, I was mentally exhausted, so this is like kind of forcing me or putting pressure on me, I wouldn't say that. No, there's no excuse. Wallahu a'lam. As long as you can reason things. Okay? Yes, Adam. What is it? Oh, prayer and fasting. We're going to talk about this, inshallah. Okay? Prayer and fasting. But let me, I just want to make sure that I go in order, inshallah, so I don't skip anything. Okay? Tayyib, talking about, again, a husband-wife relationship. If it's done, if it happened during the month of Ramadan, during the day, then both of them should have qada and kafara. They should make up for the day, obviously, and then the kafara on both of them. If someone, there are cases, by the way, and I get these questions. It's, let's say, the husband or the wife, either or, usually the husband, kind of forced his wife to do that. In this case, she still should make up for the day, but there's no kafara on her. The kafara and the ithm and the sin is on him, not on her, okay? So we have to be careful. All right, talking about this, touching, kissing, all of these things, do they break the fast? If it's done like yani, it's just a regular kiss and touch that does not basically lead to ejaculation, all of that, then that's fine. But if there is ejaculation, then now we need to make up for that day. Okay, the same ruling will be applied here. Okay, and that goes with that. With that, it goes also the self-pleasure, if that's the good term I can use here, just for lack of a better term. Self-pleasure also is considered to be, it's just like basically having a relationship with your spouse, and that requires qada and kafara. It's basically masturbation, right? Qada and kafara. In this case, and this is very important to teach, subhanAllah, especially youngsters, that this breaks your fast and you have qada to make up for the day. And on top of that, you have kafara, which is basically the compensation or the penalty that we just mentioned here, to fast 60 consecutive days or to free 60 people. Okay? So I hope this is clear, and this is a discussion that fathers, mothers should have with their children, because it's very common, and a lot of youngsters and a lot of brothers and sisters may not even know this. So we have to be aware of this, inshallah. Okay? Hijama, but also breaks your fast, like hijama, the blood that comes out of your body. Okay? Any questions? Some questions here? Questions? Yes. What do you mean missing the fast? Huh? It's the same thing. Oh, yeah. Breaking the fast doesn't mean that you just eat. I mean, you just missed the fast. Obviously, you're going to eat intentionally, right? So you mean missing the fast, not fasting the day, but how are you going to break the fast? Well, you have to eat something. You're not fasting the day. You mean with daniya, just daniya, or you're actually going to eat something? So the niyya, it's all about the niyya. I don't have the niyya to, it's the same. It's the same. Because your niyya not to fast. Right, from the very beginning. Yes. It really depends on the injection itself. What is that for, right? Is it the IV, for example? IV, we know it breaks the fast, right? The IV will break your fast. But the blood drive, it does not break your fast. Hijama, you talking about the... Yeah. To be honest, Brother Waqas, I am not sure why exactly, like the hijama, like the cup, it's just the methodology of hijama, maybe the amount of blood that comes out of the places where the blood is coming from, the mechanism itself could be the reason. By cupping is basically the hijama, breaks your fast. That's why it's recommended not to do it during the day of Ramadan. Saud, do you have a question? Yes. What is that? No, it does not break your fast. Okay, but don't do that too much. He's saying, like, what about, you know, swallowing the saliva? You know, when you're thirsty, sometimes a lot of people, Allah knows. Questions? Yes. 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 Yeah, we're talking about the sisters. I think that was the question, Brother Majid. The questions, like, alhamdulillah, this is just necessity. It's important that you need to taste the food, right? And as long as you spit it out, then khalas, no problem, inshallah. Yeah. Okay? All right. Any question? Another question that I receive a lot is suhoor. Okay? Not having sahri doesn't mean that you should not fast. There is no, it's a barakah to get suhoor. It's sunnah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's sunnah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? But not having suhoor, you overslept, okay? You overslept. If you oversleep and you wake up, it's past Fajr and all of that, and you didn't eat or you choose not to eat, then you need to fast. It's on you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَصَحَّرُوا فَإِنَّ فِي السُّحُورِ بَرَكَةً. Okay? Have suhoor because there is barakah in the suhoor. And the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to basically delay the suhoor, okay? هو تأخير السحور وتعجيل الفطر. When it comes to the iftar, all right, you start eating as soon as maghrib. You hear maghrib, you know, just water and dates, milk, something small, all right. But when it comes to suhoor, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, delay it till, you know, delay it as much as you can. Because some people, what they do is they want to have suhoor before they sleep. So the last meal is going to be, what, midnight? And then it's going to be too much time fasting. And it will be very difficult for you. Okay? So it's highly recommended to take suhoor. However, if you miss or you choose to skip suhoor, then you absolutely should fast. And I don't know where people are getting, oh, Sheikh, I didn't get suhoor, make suhoor, so, I mean, can I break my fast? No, you cannot. Yes. So obviously you will get to the point of, I mean, that's a question. It's related to the calculations and the you know, it's which you follow the 15th, you follow the 18th, whatever. But what I would tell you in this case, wallahu ala degrees, what I would tell you in this case, follow your local masjid, just to be in the safe side. Okay? Follow your local masjid. We have an app, brother. They can see the timings for Adhan, right? Just follow that. And if you have the app in your house as well, you're gonna hear the Adhan. This is your follow your local masjid. So you don't because you don't know which app they're using. All right. So you don't want to follow that. When we start the Adhan here, this is inshallah Rabbil Alameen when you break your fast. Okay. Yes, brother Majid. Yeah. We have the idea of fatwa and taqwa here. The idea of fatwa and taqwa. Fatwa is, technically speaking, you can wait until then. Actually, matter of fact, their opinions, which they're weak opinions. They say even until we say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, even through the adhan itself. If the adhan is started and you have some food in your mouth, continue, like don't spit out that food. But we say the best. Thing you can do is to stop eating a little bit before. Like we have here, and I'm pretty sure we have that. Do you want to add something about that?
Yeah. Go ahead. And correct me if I... So this is a topic that I have discussed with Sheikh Salah a lot and researched a lot. First of all, I think there is a misconception that the time for Fajr Azan is the time to stop eating. There is no difference, I mean. It's the same thing. I think some people think you have to stop 5 minutes before, but the Fajr time is the time when you stop eating. And as far as the angles are concerned that Sheikh Salah referred to, I just want to tell you what does this angle really means. When the sun is rising, right, it's coming up on the horizon. If you are looking like straight on this side, sun is somewhere here when it's coming up slowly, right? That is the angle from the horizontal horizon. In Texas, where we live, every geographical location would see the sun at a different angle. Like people in Pakistan are able to see the sun a little bit earlier than us because Pakistan is east. So when the sun is at 18 degrees on the horizon, like somewhere here, they are able to see the sun rise, right? So 18 degree is what they follow in Pakistan. But for us, because we are further west, we are closer to the 15 degree because it has to come up a little more than that for us to say that this is the time of Subh-e Sadiq. So the first light, as the sun is coming up, there is a ray of light that comes, flat ray of light. And that is what drives when you stop eating. And that's why there is a difference. Some people here have followed 18 degrees. We don't. We stick to the 15. And that's why you will see that on our calendar, it's a later time that we stop eating. So 15 degrees is what we follow here. And then Sheikh said very correctly, best thing is follow your local masjid and follow your app. That's it. That's the easiest.
Very good, mashallah. MashaAllah. Jazakum Allah khairan. So it's always better to stop eating a little bit before Fajr. And if you have the, we have the calendar, alhamdulillah, where it says imsak, like khalas, stop. Stop right there. That's the safest, just to be on the safe side. You don't want to, because if you miscalculate Fajr and you're eating to realize that Fajr passed, that's a question also. All right, let's say that I kept on eating. I wasn't too sure if it was Fajr or not. And then I realized it was Fajr. Like Fajr passed and Adhan was made and stuff. Khalas, this day is gone. This day is gone already. But why? It was a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. You did not do your homework. You know? Right? You would know. You would know. Just as you care for Maghrib, you care for Fajr as well. So the safest bet over here, the safest thing to do is to stop eating a little bit before. Even if we say imsak at, let's say, 5:30. Let's say 5:30, then okay, 5:20 I would stop. Okay, well, Alan, brother, do you have? Sure. Yeah, it is your responsibility to know for sure. Yeah. Because if you depend on the app, if you depend on the muezzin, they might start that then late. You know what I'm trying to say? The app might not work properly. There is a glitch or something. That's why we say it's better to. But the question is, if I ate a little bit, let's say in first Qumashi, it says stop at that time, right? But then it's, you know, that's not time for Adhan. Like we give like a buffer in between and you're still eating. Technically speaking, you're good to go. But that's why we say what? Here, taqwa is better than the fatwa. They just follow the taqwa over the fatwa here. The fatwa says yes. And I told you, there is even a fatwa that says, if you hear the adhan while you have the food, just swallow the food. Continue. Okay? Don't spit the water or the food. Continue. All right? But it's, I would say, always to be in the safe side, end early. Wallahu alam. So this is a very important point, inshallah, to consider. Okay? Questions? Yes. Yeah. Okay, yeah, of course, inshallah. So she's asking about the niyyah for siyam, right? Okay, so there are multiple opinions here. The one that I follow is you need a niyyah for each night, and there is an opinion also that says the one niyyah for whole Ramadan from the very beginning of Ramadan, it's enough, it's just a niyyah. And the niyyah obviously is in your heart. You do not have to utter the niyyah. You do not have to say, I intend fasting during the month of Ramadan. You don't have to specifically say. The only niyyah that you can actually say it loud, out loud, is the niyyah of Hajj and Umrah. Labbaik Allahumma Umrah. Labbaik Allahumma Hajjan. Okay? You can say that out loud. There is no problem. But when it comes to the niyyah of Ramadan, it's just in the beginning of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The niyyah, mahalluha al-qalb. Al-niyyah, mahalluha al-qalb. It is in your heart. And khalas, Allah knows your intention. Now, if talking about, let's say, a sister, she is ready to fast. Okay? She's ready to fast. And, you know, she basically, she's ready, let's say, even a few minutes before Fajr, alhamdulillah, now she can make the ghusl and fast, but she didn't make the niyyah before. That's why we say one niyyah should be enough from the very beginning of Ramadan. You have the niyyah. So there is flexibility here, inshallah, okay? So talking about that particular aspect for the sisters, if you, if basically the talking about the cycle, if this happens even a few minutes before Maghrib, you break up your fast. You don't continue the day. Okay, break up your fast, and that day doesn't count. I know it hurts, it hurts a little bit, but always remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's giving you the permission and the concession. And the concession from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a gift. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ أَن تُؤْتَى رُخَصَهُ كَمَا تُتَعَزَمُ. He has given you this, alhamdulillah, this concession and this gift, accept it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't say like why and men, they're getting it easier and all of that. It's a concession. You can make up the day, alhamdulillah, you get a reward, and subhanallah, if the day is longer in the summer, you can make up the day in the winter, you know? So it's khayr, inshallah, in this case. But to answer your question, the niyyah starts as soon as the sister is ready to fast again, inshallah. Okay? I hope that answers the question. All right? Questions? Question. I get also a lot of questions about toothpaste. You know, toothpaste, there is nothing wrong with it. Just try your best not to swallow, to swallow anything. Just make sure to be in the safe side. The same thing for miswak. If there is a miswak, there is no problem with that. All right. Medication, you need to check with the doctor. If you can postpone the medication, if it is not going to harm you, then alhamdulillah. If it's not going to harm you, you can fast. But if you can schedule your medication after you consult with your physician, in such a way where you can fast, alhamdulillah khayr, because you don't want to miss the days of Ramadan. Again, back to the sisters, there are a lot of things if you're not fasting you can do. You can actually do recite Quran. This is the fatwa, and as long as I'm alive, as long as I'm in this masjid, that's going to be my fatwa. The sister can recite Quran, all right, can recite Quran. Using the phone right now to recite Quran, it doesn't really consider to be a mushaf. It's not like a physical Quran that you're touching, just an application. You can also recite from that. There is no problem, inshallah. You can make dhikr, you can do a lot of things. It's just no prayer and no fasting. With that, I had a question about the Adam. Was it you, Adam? Talking about not praying. Like you fast, but not praying. These are two different things here. Okay, not because you don't pray for any kind of reason. Obviously, there is no such thing as a Muslim doesn't pray, in my opinion. You know, there is no such thing as a Muslim doesn't pray. If you say, I don't pray, well, Allahu A'lam. There are a lot of opinions in that regard, whether that person is a Muslim or not. So what would we put ourselves in this situation, this position? A Muslim should be praying. You can tell me that I don't pray on time, I combine the prayers, I miss some salawat. Okay, we can talk about this. But a Muslim doesn't pray at all. But even if that's the case, it doesn't mean that you don't fast. Okay? But you don't fast. But Ramadan is an opportunity for you to start praying again. Alhamdulillah. Ramadan helps you because the whole community is helping you. You are in the environment. Allah is putting you through the environment. Shaitan is out. Okay? Shaitan is out. Locked down already. Okay? Now you're just struggling with your nafs a little bit. And the whole community is praying, alhamdulillah, the masjid is full, and we have Salat al-Taraweeh, and we have Salat al-Fajr, a lot of people. So it's easier for you to reconnect through the month of Ramadan. So every Ramadan, you try to accomplish something. Let's say this Ramadan, I will focus on two things. I'll focus on perfecting the Salah, and I'll focus on building a special relationship with Quran. Okay? Because we don't want to start Ramadan, and then back after Ramadan, we go back to square zero. That's what we were talking about yesterday. Let's set a plan for the next 5 years for Ramadan. Okay, this Ramadan, one sister of my, mashallah, in Surah Al-Baqarah class, she said something that I really, really loved. She said, after studying the Surah Al-Baqarah, remember some sisters are here? I feel like I befriended Quran, you know? So let's say this Ramadan, I want to be a friend with Quran. I want to be that close to Quran. I want to build a special relationship where whenever I open Quran, I feel like Quran speaks to me. Allah is talking personally to me. Let's set this goal. That this Ramadan, I'll do this inshallah, Rabbil Alameen, okay? And next Ramadan, I'll get even more close to Quran. And by Ramadan of 2027, inshallah, 2030, then I'm like on a different level when it comes to Ramadan. So set a goal, but long term, inshallah. Okay? not just go by Ramadan, by Ramadan. And again, Salah, even if you're not praying, doesn't mean that you don't fast. All right? If you're not praying, doesn't mean that you do not fast. All right? This is very, very important. What else? Did we skip anything? Yes. Yes. No, kafara, remember in two cases, right? Al-iftar amidan fi nahari Ramadan, to break your fast intentionally. In the month of Ramadan, alayk al-qada wa kafara. Okay, intentionally. Qada and kafara. Or the relationship, okay? These are the two cases here, all right? But when it comes to something that out of your control, like medication, it's sickness, right? You need to be treated, so no problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already says, فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا. By the way, surah, the ayah of As-Siyam and Shahr Ramadan, this ayah, it has a lot of answers to a lot of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شَهُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. Let's go to ayah before. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The purpose of Siyam is to accomplish and attain the taqwa, to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that they do. Okay, that's number one. All right, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. Allah honored Ramadan because of Quran. So imagine the value of Quran itself, okay? فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. Now, if you witness the month, then it's mandatory upon you to fast. وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ. If you're sick, you want to take medication, أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ, you're traveling, فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. Then make up for the days later on. Allah is already answering this question. وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين. وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and for those who are unable to fast permanently, you know, ففدية طعام مسكين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about الفدية. Okay? ففدية طعام مسكين. وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين. اللهم صل على سيدنا. Just recall the ayah. فمن تطوع خيرا له وان تصوموا خير لكم ان كنتم تعلمون. شهر رمضان الذي انزل فيه القران هدى للناس وبينات من فمن شهد ومن كان مريضا ولا سفر فعده من ايام اخر. يريد الله, that's another beautiful part, يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. Allah wants ease for you, not hardship. Allah is not asking us to command us to fast because he wants us to struggle and to starve and to feel like, you know, things are really complicated. Not at all. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. You need to take medication. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ. Allah wants ease for you. Allah wants you to be healthy, to be good, to take care of yourself. Okay? وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Okay? Yes, brother. Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. 100%. Look, there is no such thing as you have to break your fast. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you an option. He's given you a permission. Okay? You want to accept it and alhamdulillah go with that, but you know your situation better. بَلْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. You know your situation better. Okay? If you know that, no, it's better for you to fast now. Yeah, makes sense. Let's say Ramadan was in the winter where the days are very short. All right? And then you know that you're going to be traveling until the summer. You know, I mean, back and forth, obviously. So when you make up the days of Ramadan, it will be in the summer. That's going to be longer. For example, no, it's better for me to actually fast now. خلاص, Bismillah. There is no problem. All I'm saying is, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ لِلْعُسْرَ. You have the option. You have the concession. So هذا يجوز. Okay? Yes. Comment. Yeah. What is your niyyah? And then I'm going to see, he's saying that when you make wudu and your mouth is dry, so you're perfecting your wudu. Like, we tend to perfect our wudu in Ramadan, especially the madmada. Why? Because you're hoping. You're subhanallah. That's, I mean, it's our nature, yani. So I wouldn't do that. I would be careful. All right. But also, I would look at my niyyah, my intention. What is my intention? Am I trying to let something, you know, get in my body so I can, yani, it will make me feel better? No, but you can. It's okay, yani. You can just have some water, but as long as you're gonna spit them again, khalas, alhamdulillah. Brother, you have a question? Okay, because you were a sister, yes. Question? Okay. All right. So, with that, we're gonna have to conclude, inshallah. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Ramadan is easy for us, and that we be able to perfect the month of Ramadan. In the beginning of the session, I said Ramadan is to abstain from eating, drinking, or relationship, right? That's not the only thing. When you abstain, you need to abstain or prevent yourself from anything that will break your fast, like biting, gossiping, cursing, harming people. This is also part of fasting. Because fasting is it has levels, degrees. Okay? Some people will exit Ramadan with A+. Some people exit Ramadan with A's, B's, C's. Some people are going to fail. That رب صائم لا يناله من صومه إلا الجوع والعطش. Maybe the only thing you will get out of your fasting is hunger and thirst. That's it. The niyyah wasn't there. The akhlaq wasn't there. What's the point? Okay? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. You know, in our website, there is a portal that says, Ask Imam. Any question that you have, it will come to me. Inshallah. I'm the only one who's going to see this, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. I'm going to respond within 84 hours. I mean, 48 hours, inshallah. Inshallah. Maybe sometimes 84 hours.
Jazakallah khair, Imam Salah. I'm talking to those that are online or watching. You're missing out a very lively discussion here in the hall. MashaAllah, it was a very engaging discussion. Please do come by now. There are two sessions next that will start at 3 p.m. One for the youth. I would request all the youth to be in the main musalla. It's going to be the reverse. All of our adult brothers and sisters can go to the second floor at 3 p.m. Sheikh Salah will do a lecture on the fiqh of zakah. And that's a topic that personally I'm still struggling with, because there are so many nuances to it. And we all can learn what is the correct way of calculating our zakah, and what are the things that are part of that needs to be included in the zakah. So, very useful lecture at 3 p.m. by Imam Salah on fiqh of zakah. And then, inshallah, at the same time, the youth can stay here. And Mufti Sajid and Ustada Sophia are going to talk about how to get the youth ready for Ramadan, how to recharge yourself for Ramadan and prepare yourself for Ramadan, inshallah. And then we'll continue, inshallah. There are going to be more sessions coming up. We will have Imam Nadeem Bashir coming today. We would have Imam Abdul Rahman Bashir coming up today. Imam Azhar Zubedar will make another appearance, inshallah, tonight. Mufti Wasim Khan is going to be here also, inshallah. So stay engaged. I hope more people show up, inshallah. And Jazakallah khair for being part of it. Assalamu alaikum.